Unit 8, Kautilya. Page 7, Structure. 8.0, Objectives. 8.1, Introduction. 8.2, Life. 8.3, State. 8.4, Saptanga Theory. 8.5, Administration. 8.6, Law and Justice. 8.6.1, Law. 8.6.2, Justice. 8.6.3, Relation between Law and Justice. 8.7, Mandala Theory. 8.7.1, Meaning. 8.7.2, Components. 8.7.3, Implication. 8.8, Let us sum up. 8.9, Keywords. 8.10, Some useful books. 8.11, Answers to check your progress exercise. Page 8, 8.0, Objectives. Both studying and analyzing the ancient Indian polity in depth is so important that the construction of modern polity can be made meaningful only if we do so. In order to introduce the details of the Kautilya Arthashastra, about which a lengthy discussion is going on, and to distinguish the same from other major works of ancient India, this chapter has been picked up. However, there are two major objectives. To introduce and find out why Kautilya's work has been raised to the sky, and to understand the major techniques to solve the crisis in the state. 8.1, Introduction. Today, not only the students of ancient Indian history, but also of those who are interested to make sense of the ancient Indian polity, are debating the genuinity of Kautilya's Arthashastra. One of the major issues that was given priority, whether Arthashastra was a science of wealth or polity. For Kautilya, these two mean the same. He did not distinguish these because one cannot exist without the other. However, it is argued that the study on Kautilya's Arthashastra not only explains the mental applications of the author, but also deals with the kind of socio-political conditions prevailing during that time. Today, the nationalist historians begin to look back in such a way that they think the contributions of the colonial rulers in India is nothing compared to the political treasures existed earlier. 8.2, Life. It is documented more than 300 years before Christ, Kautilya destroyed the mighty Nanda kingdom of Magadha, that is modern Bihar. On its ruins, the much acclaimed author of the Arthashastra, Kautilya, created a vast new empire which was ruled by a brave king called Chandragupta Maurya, 321 to 297 BC. Page 9. Thus, in the beginning, Kautilya has been portrayed as the revengeful and firm on his division against the Nanda kingdom, which was said to have humiliated him. Nothing about his life is known more than that he belonged to the Magadha and lived in Pataliputra. Neither the date and place of his birth nor the circumstances of his death are recorded. But there is sufficient evidence to say that he visited the Takshila University, a great institution of higher learning. However, the only record available about Kautilya is his work entitled The Arthashastra. Otherwise, he was known as the mentor of Chandragupta Maurya and remained behind the success of Chandragupta Maurya. Kautilya, known also as Vatsayana, Malanga, Kautya, Chanakya, Dramila, Paksila, Swarni, Vishnugupta and Angula, was the prime minister at the court of Chandragupta Maurya. He was known for his intelligence and future calculations. His advices to king are of great academic attraction, as he supports the kind of politics based on power. His contributions to early Indian political thought provide him a special place, which tells us about his life and mission. The following are some of his unique contributions to the early Indian polity. Page 10. Check your progress. 1. Question. Write a brief note on the life of Kautilya. Clue, see section 8.2. 8.3. State. Cotillian's state is something that is depended on the assumption that the king emerged out of a great political crisis, which needs to be assessed on the basis of theories of origin of kingship. However, the origin of kingship, one of the fundamental problems of politics, which already engaged the attention of political thinkers during the Vedic period. The theory of divine origin, for instance, attains its most developed form in the Manusmriti, chapter 7, page 3, 4 and 8. The Lord, it says, created a king for the protection of this whole creation, taking eternal particles of Indra, of the wind, of Yama, of the sun, of fire, of Varuna, of the moon, and of the lord of wealth, that is Kubera. The other view about the origin of king, that is, election by common consent, was modified in a striking resemblance to the theory of social contract advanced by Locke in Europe nearly 2000 years later. Page 11. Mahabharata, one of the greatest epics of India, deals exclusively about this and later summarized as follows in the Arthashastra. People suffering from anarchy first elected Manu to be their king and allotted 1/6 of the grains grown and 1/10 of merchandise as sovereign dues. Fed by this payment, kings took upon themselves the responsibilities of maintaining the safety and security of their subjects. However, a further modification of this theory is found in the Buddhist canonical texts, according to which the people elected not the mythical Manu, but the most handsome, gracious, and powerful individual from among them, on condition of giving him a portion of their rice. These understandings bring us to a conclusion that the state came into existence once the selection or election of the king was over. On the other hand, such an understanding goes against the view that state was a natural institution and it cannot be understood as the human creation. However, the above theories have one underlying feature, that it says, the origin of kingship was based on the assumption that there was a state of chaos and confusion which called for a protector. In some cases, it is held that originally men lived happily and enjoyed peace and prosperity till their wickedness brought about a state of anarchy and misery in which the might alone was right. Such a society was likened to a pond in which the bigger fish swallowed the smaller ones, and the proverbial state of anarchy was, from this analogy, technically termed Matsya Nyaya, like fish or jungle law. This view may be compared to the theory of the state of nature propounded by Hobbes. As R.S. Sharma argues, that the state in Kautilya's Arthashastra represents few extraordinary characters. However, he identifies that the state represented the non-religious character, as the priestly power is made subordinate to royal power. That is, there was a clear distinction that was made between religion and politics in Kautilya. Page 12. That is the reason why he did not like the high officials of the state to be divided into their allegiance. Their primary loyalty should be to the king and not to religious practices. The Kautilyan state does not care for gods and temples and mostly confirms the privileges claimed by the priestly class. His state is comparatively tolerant but not secular, as has been suggested by some scholars. Indeed, Kautilya also made an attempt to distinguish the king from the state. The state was conceived as an organic whole like human body, and its constituent parts are actually called angas or limbs. On an ultimate analysis of the conception of state, 7 such limbs were recognized. That is, the king, the minister, the country, the fort, the treasury, the army, and the friend. Elaboration about these elements will be provided later. They are all the essential prerequisites of a state to be a fixed piece of territory, an organized government with adequate means, both financial and military, of maintaining internal peace and resisting foreign aggression and recognition by other states. The scope of activities of the state was all-embracing, and no distinction was made between personal and civic rights and duties, or between moral principles and positive law. Everything that had any bearing upon the moral and spiritual nature or material condition of a man came within the scope of state activities. This can be illustrated by an examination of the contents of the Arthashastra. It includes within the functions of the state not merely the security of life and property, administration of justice and such economic control, including nationalization of trade and industry, but also maintenance of proper relation between members of a family, the strict observance of rules prescribed by religion or social custom and etiquette. Thus, the Arthashastra not only provides for state management of large-scale trade and industry and exercise of effective control over every profession, occupation, including that of physician and prostitutes, but also maintaining public amusements and entertainment, including gambling, and prescribes it to be the duty of the state to protect the helpless, the aged, and the orphan, and to save the people from effects of natural calamities. Page 13. State also lays down what should be the proper relations between husband and wife, father and son, brother and sister, etc. In short, the state played an effective part over a man's social, economic, cultural, moral, and even spiritual life, and there was hardly any limit to its sphere of activity. Check your progress too. Explain the Kautilyan views about the origin of the state. Clue, see section 8.3. 8.4. Saptanga theory. As mentioned earlier, the seven elements or Saptanga are the part and parcel of the state as given by Kautilya in his Arthashastra. This theory argues that nothing can exist independently. Therefore, state is made up of the seven elements. Page 14. These seven elements are 1. The king or swami, 2. The minister or amatya, 3. The country or rajya, 4. The fort or durga, 5. The treasury or kosha, 6. The army or bala, 7. The friend or mitra. Kautilya lays down the modalities of the working of all these elements strictly based upon the defined rules and regulations. The success of the state, as he argues, is depending upon as to how these seven elements function themselves both independently as well as by cooperating with each other. His descriptions about who should be a king and minister, what should be called as the country, how and why forts have to be strategically built, why and how treasury has to be maintained to face challenges at the period of crisis, how to maintain the strength of the army as well as training them, and finally, who should be and why should one be friendly, are of a great importance even today as they are so practical and meaningful political tips. For instance, when Kautilya discusses on the fort, he says that the fort or Durga has to be built only on an elevated place, therefore preferably on a hill, so that when the enemy king attacks the king or Durga, it is easy to identify the strength and weaknesses of the enemy king to prepare for the war. On the other hand, Kautilya suggests that around the fort or Durga, huge trenches have to be made so that one cannot easily cross or enter the fort. Page 15. Check your progress 3. Question 1. Write an essay on Saptanga theory. Clue, see section 8.4. Administration. Kautilya is praised for his sensitive craft of administration. His idea and the practice of administrative organization has always made him to be a different scholar of early India from others. His administrative organization involves four major components called 1. The king. 2. The ministers. 3. The council. 4. The bureaucracy. With these four major components, the administrative organization appears to be highly organized. At the head stood the king, assisted by a number of ministers and a council. The detailed work of administration was divided among a number of departments and managed by an efficient and highly organized bureaucracy. Page 16. The king in Arthashastra is pictured as the supreme head of the executive, judiciary and military branch of administration. Sometimes the kings were elected by the people, though hereditary kingship became gradually the established practice. Kautilya has never discouraged the succession by a female in the absence of the male, though there are hardly instances to support the case. The prestige attached to the position of the sovereign varied in different times and in different localities. He enjoyed special honors and privileges, and the theory of divine origin made his person almost sacrosanct. Special care was to be taken to impart sound education and moral training to the future king, according to the Arthashastra. The textbook on polity laid great stress on this point and insisted that if the prince failed to reach a requisite standard, proved unruly, or showed sign of weakness or perverse character, he forfeited his right to the throne and another should be installed in his place. Kautilya goes so far as to say that if the only legitimate heir was lacking in knowledge and moral character, the king should even try to beget a son on his wife by the system of levirate, but never shall a wicked and only son be installed on the royal throne. Kautilya further goes ahead to design the functional programs of the king. He specifies job of the king to be carried out both in the day and night. There are 8 clearly defined duties that the king has to perform during the day, and there are 5 special duties other than sleep time in the night. This not only kept the king busy, but also made him available to the people for personal contact. While dealing with the duties of the king, he concludes with a very popular saying that in the happiness of his subjects lay his happiness, and in their welfare, his welfare. Page 17. The second important component of Kautilya's administrative organization is the ministers. Indeed, the ministers were next to the king in the hierarchy maintained by Kautilya. Kautilya says, "Sovereignty is possible only with assistance." Hence, the king shall employ ministers and hear their opinion. Kautilya held the view that the ministerial appointments shall depend only on qualifications and not on the considerations of family or backstage influence. Before employing ministers on responsible duties, their characters were tested by secret agents, and the king employed only those as ministers who proved themselves superior to the allurements that usually led a man astray from his duties. However, the total number of ministers varied from one condition to another, and also the requirements decided the number of ministers. But these are disputable statements that there were 18 departments headed by 18 ministers. Above them, there was a prime minister, and next to him was the king. In addition to the ministers, there was a council to assist the king in the administrative work. Scholars on Arthashastra argued that Kautilya has had 2 kinds of councils, called State Council and Executive Council. However, the State Council seems to have occupied the place of the Samiti, or the assembly of the Vedic period. With regard to the power of the council, Kautilya expressly lays down that they had to consider all other concerns, the parties of both the king and his enemy, and that in important cases, the king shall hold a joint session of both the executive and the state councils. The fourth and the final component of Kautilya's administrative organization is the bureaucracy. Kautilya argues that while policy was formulated by the council and the ministers, the detailed work of administration was carried on by a bureaucracy. At the head of the bureaucracy were a few high officials whose number and status must have varied in different ages and different states. Page 18. However, the following list includes the more important ones. 1. The High Priest. 2. The Commander-in-Chief. 3. The Chief Justice. 4. The Doorkeeper or Pratihari. 5. The High Treasurer or Sannidhata. 6. The Collector General or Samaharta. The general nature of their duties is indicated by their names. There were also ceremonial officers such as the bearer of the sunshade of the state and the state sword bearers. Besides, there were viceroys and ambassadors whose sphere of work lay in distant parts of the country. The bureaucracy included 28 important superintendents who were expected to do different specific jobs as well as to head the 28 departments. There was also emphasis on the local administration in Arthashastra. The kingdom was divided into several districts and each district into a number of villages. The district officer was called Sthannika and the village accountant was known as Gopa. Besides, there was a village headman who was assisted by an assembly of villagers. In addition to the various officials described above, there was another class which played a prominent part in the administrative organization of Kautilya, the spies. The spies or secret agents maintained not only by the king but by almost all important officials as a check against their subordinates. The spies were divided into several classes and employed for various purposes in various spheres of life. Spies were asked to keep a vigil on every responsible officer everywhere. Page 19. Kautilya had argued that since he suspected the spies, he appointed spies on spies without knowing each other. Indeed, it is worth to note that persons who had necessarily to be fed by the state were trained for this purpose from their childhood. Along with this, there was a pattern around which the spies were expected to work. That is, the spies evolved systems of signs, symbols, and coded word or cipher writing for communicating with each other. Check your progress 4. Question 1. Describe the administrative system envisaged in Kautilya's administration. Clue: see section 8.5. 8.6. Law and Justice. The discussion on law and justice finds a special place in the Arthashastra. Kautilya argued that law ensures the overall safety of the state, whereas the justice ensures the faith of the people towards the state. Therefore, Kautilya considered both law and justice as blood and nervous system as seen in the human body. Page 20. 8.6.1. Law. The law has a special consideration in Kautilya's Arthashastra. All other things related to the state and administration will be carried out as expected only if the law of the land is properly designed and applied. Though he calls both designing as well as applying the law as the fundamental duty of the state, he stresses more on the application of law. Therefore, the officials who enforce law were expected to act more carefully than the officials who make or design laws. However, as far as law is concerned, Kautilya seems to be absolutely clean about its source and its application. He has agreed, like any other ancient thinkers, that there were two sources of law. The first one being the sacred literature consisted of the Vedas, the Smritis and the Puranas, and the second source was the local usages. However, the local usages were accorded a far greater importance than we can possibly imagine. The king was bound to respect them and to keep a permanent record of the history of customs, professions and transactions of countries, villages, families and corporations. The sources of law being limited to these two, there was theoretically no scope for new legislation. The imposition of law and observation of law were given priority in Kautilya's Arthashastra. In cases where the law was broken or not practiced, a detailed inquiry was conducted to see the condition that led to break the law. The guilty was punished ruthlessly without any consideration. But it is argued elsewhere The Brahmins were given special consideration when punishments were accorded to them. Finally, it can be argued that every sphere of human action, day and night, was strictly governed by the laws. 8.6.2 Justice. The matters related to justice are discussed under the judicial administration in Kautilya's Arthashastra. Tribunals were organized throughout the kingdom for administering justice. Page 21. There were three kinds of local courts which looked after different nature of cases. A great deal of importance was attached to these local courts. This was done on the basis of the understanding that the local judges were the best judges of the merits of a case, especially when they lived in the place where the accused person resided and where the subject matter of the dispute had arisen. The central court was held in the capital under the presidentialship of the king or the chief justice and included 5 judges. This was the highest court of justice and exercised a sort of general supervision over the administration of justice throughout the country. There are clear descriptions about the punishment for violating justice. Reference: Kautilya Arthashastra by R. Shama Shastri, Mysore Printing and Public House, Mysore, pages number 264 to 268. 8.6.3 Relation between law and justice. For some obvious reasons, Kautilya treated both law and justice separately, especially to provide their conceptual clarity. When they were treated in the context of their application, he looks at them almost as one and the same. There can be no law without the justice, and there can be no justice without the law, argued Kautilya. That is to argue that the one makes the other. They can be called as integral parts of the larger state system envisaged by Kautilya. He further argued that in many occasions that justice provided on certain specific cases have become the law of the land. There are still debates about the justice provided on the basis of birth. However, besides all the apprehensions, the law and justice in Arthashastra remain to be integral parts of the state. Page 22. Check your progress 5. Question: explain the relationship between law and justice. 8.7 Mandala theory. 8.7.1 Meaning. Another most important contribution as well as the subject for debate was the mandala theory, which claims to be the theory dealing with details of external relations. For Kautilya, human nature became so important that the same went to the extent of deciding the entire internal as well as external relationship of individuals. He believed that human beings are so intelligent they can do and undo anything in the world. It is difficult, as Kautilya argued, to assess the nature of the individuals, especially who is a friend and enemy, and therefore one is expected to play a safe game in one's life. However, the discussions on mandala theory in Kautilya had become a subject matter for all the administrators as well as foreign policy makers today. Page 23. 8.7.2 Components. The mandala theory, one of the prominent contributions of Kautilya, occupies a central place in the interstate relations. It became a major theory not only for Kautilya, but also for the contemporary academicians, for the kind of arguments it provided. However, Kautilya had realized that while having interstate relations, a mitra outside the country is an advantageous thing. Therefore, he maintains that it is the duty of the king to maintain relationship with the king outside his own territory. Of course, on certain specific conditions, Kautilya adds. Mandala primarily refers to stages of relationships maintained by kings and others. Kautilya enumerates his theory of mandala between king, his allies and his foes, called king, mitra and arimitra. Mandala theory was devised for the purpose of king to realize the twin objectives of foreign policy, that is, security and interest. Kautilya preferred diplomacy over war to attain a threefold objective. 1. Preservation of property already in hand. 2. Recovery of that which was lost previously. And 3. The acquisition of new lands. However, the entire foreign relations conceived by Kautilya depended on a six-fold policy. 1. Treaties with states with pledges or guarantees. 2. War. 3. Neutrality. 4. Expeditions based on the collection of materials of war preparation. 5. Seeking the shelter of a more powerful king by surrendering money or hostages. And 6. Making peace with one and war with another. Page 24. This is where the mandala system, the core of foreign policy, comes in and teaches the king how to deal with enemies and friends. Professor R. K. Mukherjee explains the mandala system in simple language. The neighboring king is to be treated as the enemy. His neighbor is the friend. Other powers will be enemies' allies and the allies of the king, or the conqueror's allies and the allies of the enemy's allies. There is also the Madhyama king between the conqueror and his enemy, who may help either. And lastly, there is the neutral king. There are a good number of historians who claim that mandala theory of Kautilya was in practice in Europe, especially during the World War period. There are also historians who hail mandala theory as relevant even to the existing conditions in general and foreign policy in particular. 8.7.3 Implications. The implications of the mandala theory can be classified into two groups. Firstly, at the level of the state. When king takes care of establishing his relationship with his neighbors, not only that he protects himself but also the state. Therefore, mandala theory promises to protect the state as a whole from any external threat. Secondly, the exceptions of the mandala theory keeps everyone, including an ordinary man, vigilant about his life. Meanwhile, it brings the power politics to center. Kautilya concludes saying that enemy king attack not because he wants to attack, but he attacks because of power. The power ultimately decided the activities of the neighbor king. This was one of the reasons when Kautilya was suggesting the king to maintain the spy system, who will take care of who, why, and when the king will be attacked. However, the mandala theory makes an attempt to bring power, the political power, to center stage and considers it as the most important consideration. Page 25, 8.8. Let us sum up. The descriptive account provided on the Arthashastra of Kautilya was an attempt to briefly introduce the major contributions of it to the study of ancient Indian political thought. Besides, one cannot easily neglect the suggestions it makes on certain crucial political problems that are prevalent even today. Finally, the study of Kautilya's Arthashastra supports our understanding of the roots of the political development in India in ancient days and in the days modern. 8.9 Keywords. Arthashastra, science of polity. Swami, king. Saptanga, seven limbs. Manusmriti, a book written by Manu. Matsya Nyaya, a system in which a big fish swallow the small fish, or the law of the jungle. Anarchy, lawlessness. 8.10 Useful books. 1. R. C. Majumdar, Ancient India. 2. R. S. Sharma, Aspects of Ancient Indian Polity. 3. A. S. Altaker, Institutions and Practices in Ancient India. Page 26 has clues to check your progress exercises, which I have already read along with the questions. With this, we come to the end of Unit 8.